Okay, our topic this morning is seeing the spiritual realm. I prepared you for this the last several weeks, and I've listed some points here at the beginning here that from our previous sessions on your worksheet, and these will help us get on track real quickly because I want to make a lot of time available for later in the session here, as you'll see in just a moment. Some key points we've covered in previous sessions. You are a spirit being with a psyche or soul temporarily living in a physical body. Your spirit is the real you, and you already exist in the spiritual realm. Developing your relationship with God is critically important, even for daily life. You can't function effectively in God's kingdom if you can't recognize His voice. I mean, how can you be active in a kingdom if you can't hear what the king says, right?
Right.
All right? So God created you to experience the spiritual realm with all of your spiritual senses. But sin caused you to focus on your psyche and body, but ignore your spirit. Sin inverted man's nature. You still are primarily a spiritual being. That's the real you. But because of sin, our whole way of thinking and everything has changed so that we've emphasized our physical bodies and our psyches or souls and ignoring our spirits. We are here to reverse that. You can cultivate your ability to experience the spiritual realm. Cultivate is a key word there, as we'll see. I recommended that you persevere in the following things. Number one, that you pray in the Spirit on a regular basis, as frequently as possible. I suggested that you persevere in using your spiritual authority and declare that you will experience more of the spiritual realm. I also encourage you to focus on that realm. You see, the goal here is to transform your perception of reality. Look around the room here. This is not reality. This is not as real as the spiritual realm, the real you, and the realm that you exist in. Okay? So the goal here is to transform your perception of reality, to acknowledge, first of all, that you are a child of God Almighty. You're not just a human being. You are a child of God Almighty. And that He wants you to be aware of the spiritual realm where you already exist and participate in what He's doing. Not just observe, not to sit on the sidelines and say, gee, wasn't that neat? No, to actually be involved, actively engaged in what He is doing. Seeing in the spiritual realm is not just a fun thing to do. Rather, it greatly increases your ability to know what kingdom business is and how to actively participate in it. Just as we would consider a blind person handicapped, even if he could hear, I suggest that we are spiritually handicapped if we can't see the spiritual realm, even though we can hear God's voice. It's on your worksheet there. Just as we would consider a blind person handicapped, even if he could hear, I suggest we are spiritually handicapped even if we can't see the spiritual realm. We are spiritually handicapped if we can't see the spiritual realm, even if we can hear God's voice. Now, in a survey that I took in this group here a few weeks ago, 3/4 of you indicated in the survey that you can hear God's voice. But only 1/4 of you, that's a third less, only a third less, only 1/4 of you indicated that you can see spiritual beings or see the spiritual realm. 3/4 of you can hear God's voice. That's great. But only 1/4 of you said that you can actually see the spiritual realm or spiritual beings. Well, my goal is for all of us to experience both on a regular basis. That's my goal here. For all of us to experience both seeing the spiritual realm and hearing God's voice on a regular basis. Now, based on what I see in the future, that's going to be very important. It's going to be extremely important, essential for us to hear God's voice. But it's also going to be very important for us to see in the spiritual realm. So, yes, go ahead.
When you say see, you're talking about recognizing what's taking place.
No, I'm talking about seeing. Recognizing comes later.
Physically seeing.
Physically or spiritually seeing. You have spiritual senses, including what we call spiritual sight. Okay? You have spiritual senses. Your spirit is fully equipped to operate and to function in the spiritual realm. You have spiritual senses. In fact, you have more spiritual senses than you do physical senses.
But he's here. He's here, even though we don't see him. He is here in our midst because we are here.
And we hear his children. He is with us right now. We just don't see it.
This room is really crowded right now.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I'm serious.
Yes, indeed.
And it's more than us.
Yes, it's more than us.
Okay, this is a foundation, okay? I'm just reviewing the high points to get us back on track. You with me so far? This is the foundation we're going to build on this morning. You have any questions or comments? Any other questions or comments about what we've covered in previous sessions? It is. Well, God equipped you to see in the Spirit because He wants you to know what He is doing and how you can participate. Again, Christianity is not a spectator sport. You are a child of a king, and the king wants you involved in his kingdom. Look, if you had a business, if you owned and operated a business, would you want your children to be engaged in what you're doing? And if so, would you be actively training them how to participate in your business, and maybe even take over the business when you leave?
Yes.
Well, our Father has a kingdom, and we are children of the King, and He wants to fully train us to function effectively in His kingdom. We're not toddlers that He has to take care of all the time. We're growing up, we're maturing, and He wants us actively engaged in what He's doing. Every spiritual gift exists to bring you closer to God and to serve Him more effectively. Did you get that? Every spiritual gift is for service, not personal consumption.
Right.
We have inverted that and made it all about us. That is terrible. Well, this is how we know that we have spiritual sight, or that we have, so that seeing in the Spirit is for all of us. Now, again, this is not a fun game we're talking about here, or a special privilege for a select few. No, this is your destiny. This is your destiny. It's the result of who you are. Not who you're becoming, but who you are now. All right, one of the first things you're likely to see in the spiritual realm is angels. Now, just as every human is unique, it appears that every angel is too. Now, that shouldn't be a problem for us. I mean, God is infinitely creative, right? Isn't He? Okay, good. I thought He was. Yeah. I look around the room here and I see, yeah, He has, He's very creative, infinitely creative. Well, I would suggest that there's no problem for Him to make all the angels unique as well. And I think from experience, you will discover that they are, in fact, different. They are unique. Many of the angels we encounter look very human, even in their spiritual form. They also can take tangible form. Now, on your worksheet there, I put physical form. I changed it to tangible on my worksheet, and I failed to change it on yours. You can mark out physical there and write in tangible, T-A-N-G-I-B-L-E. Many of the angels we encounter look very human, even in their spiritual form. They can also take tangible form and look exactly like a human. I'm going to give you some scriptural examples of that, evidence. Ezekiel 40, verse 3. I saw a man whose appearance was like bronze. Now, the word man there is the Greek noun ish, and it means a mature adult male. It means a husband, or more generally, it can mean any male or female human. So what does the use of the word man imply here? Tell me. What does it say? Here's what I said. No, but I mean, it says, I looked and I saw a man. Okay? I saw a man whose appearance was like bronze. If he says,
a human appearance. About the word bronze.
Yeah, that's.
Does that mean his color of his skin?
Well, his appearance was bronze. Okay. Colors, substance, I don't know, but the use of the word man implies that he had human characteristics, right? Except he had this strange color.
Right.
Now, I've seen people who worship the sun and they turn bronze, but probably not the same color we're talking about here, all right? And most of those people have skin cancer today, as a matter of fact. So, in other words, this being that Ezekiel saw had the general shape and features of a human, either a male or female human, right? Okay? Bronze definitely is not a human color. So, based on his appearance, his bronze appearance, was this a literal man?
No.
Don't think so.
No.
No. This being looked similar to a human, but clearly was not one. All right? Look at Daniel 10, verses 5 and 6. I looked up, and there before me was a man. There's the Hebrew word ish again. Before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze. There's that color again. And his voice like the sound of a multitude. Was this a human?
No, definitely not.
Definitely not, right? Daniel describes him as a man. He uses the Hebrew word ish. He does not describe him as an angel, which is the Hebrew word malak. He describes him as a man. But this clearly was not a human. In other words, he looked like a man, except for some unusual characteristics, right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, later on we see that he was an angel. Look at Genesis 19, verses 15 and 16. This is the story about Lot. It says, with the coming of the dawn, the angels urged Lot to gather his family and leave. When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city. Now, the word angels there is the Hebrew noun malach. Notice here, these verses describe these beings as both angels, using the Hebrew word malach, but also calls them men, the Hebrew word ish. It says the angels urged Lot, and the men, talking about the same beings, the men grasped his hand. Notice also here, they physically grasped Lot and his family and led them by hand. They were tangible. Just as real as if you were to grab somebody else's hand, human hand. They were tangible. Now look at Hebrews 13:2. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. This is from the New Testament. It's written in Greek. And the word angels there is the Greek noun angelos, from which we get our word angels. So we can come to some conclusions here that I think these conclusions are applicable to both the spiritual and physical realms. Okay, first of all, angels can appear as humans or only have a few human features. Right? I haven't seen too many humans who have eyes that look like blazing torches and their faces shine flash like lightning. You know, this kind of stuff. I've heard some loud voices, but none that sound like rolling thunder. Okay? So this... angels can be extremely human in appearance, or they can look somewhat human and have unusual, what we would call unusual characteristics. You with me so far? You say, so what? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we're heading that direction. Angels can appear as humans or only have a few human features. Each of them likely is unique. And they can assume tangible form. I suspect that every one of us has encountered at least one angel without realizing it. At least. Any questions or comments so far?
Going back to the situation with Lot, the natural men of the city saw to them like men.
Yes.
But yet the angels were able to blind them so they couldn't find the door
right
to get into the house. Mm-hmm. And evidently blind them again when they led them out of the city, because they were all around the house, the door, you know, trying to get in, but yet they led them away.
Safely.
So led them away safely.
Had a couple of different things going on there.
Of course, it was the night before that they blinded them, and it was the next morning that they left town. So there could have been... the guys might have stumbled home during the night, you know, whatever. But you're right. Okay? Any other questions or comments what we covered so far? Okay? There are many categories of angels with specific functions. A personal angel is one who is assigned to a human as a personal assistant. Now, some people call them guardian angels, but they do much, much more than protect us. Okay? I have a book written by an acknowledged seer, S-E-E-R, one who sees, very proficient at seeing in the spiritual realm. And I love how God provides resources just in time. You know, I love it. But in this book, he describes many categories of angels. So we have personal angels who are assigned to us, but then we have others that come on an as-needed basis. Okay? If there's a particular function that we need to perform, or if there is a skill that we have, you might have an angel assigned to you to facilitate that skill. You understand? So you may have one or more personal angels, but you may also have some specialized angels either assigned to you or who show up from time to time as needed. God doesn't have any lack of angels.
Right.
For one thing, people say, well, a third of them fell from heaven, so he only has two-thirds as many. And I'm thinking, what makes you think he stopped creating them?
Right. Are we saying that if we have 8 billion people in the world, that there are 8 billion angels?
More than that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, created by God?
Yes. And who's to say he's not continuing to create? I mean, I have created things, but I wasn't fully satisfied with that. I want to create more, right? And do you think that if God had a third of his angels secede from his kingdom, that he said, well, sorry guys, we're reduced force now? No. So I think there are more angels than we could count. And I can count pretty high.
I noticed that you don't use any scripture to back up the personal angel aspect of it. Are you basing this primarily on...
I can give you a scripture.
Okay.
Jesus brought one of the little children into among his group, and he said, I'm paraphrasing here, I'm ad-libbing. He says basically, don't hurt one of these little ones because their angels stand in the Father's presence. Which strongly implies that child's angel is in Father's presence. Okay.
I think from the moment of conception.
Yes. I believe so. From the moment of conception. I believe we have angels assigned to us from the moment of our conception. I agree. I have a book written by a seer, someone who's very proficient at seeing the spiritual realm. And that author says has seen spiritual beings since he was a young child. In fact, he thought that was normal. It wasn't until he was in his adolescence, I think, or almost there, that he realized, not everybody sees what I see. Okay? So he had this gift, this ability, from his very early childhood, probably from birth. Currently, he is the director of Bethel Atlanta School of Supernatural Ministry. And he wrote in his book that I have that he has never met anyone with more than one personal angel, and that he's never met anyone who didn't have a personal angel. On the other hand, I've read works by other authors who state that we have more than one personal angel. Whatever. We have at least one. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Do you know if angels are female? Because I've heard some ministers say only men are angels.
You mean angels are only men?
Uh-huh.
Or only men become angels?
Only angels are male.
Right.
Did I say that right? Yeah.
Angels are only male? No, I do not agree with that.
Okay.
I do not agree with that. Yes, Larry.
You say that he's from Bethel Church. Is that the one in California?
He is from Bethel Atlanta School of Supernatural Ministry. He did attend Bethel Church, California, Redding, California, in their school of the supernatural. And now he's director of a similar school in Atlanta. I think he is associated with Bethel Church. Yes. No, please, no. Well, the first author, this author that I wrote about, that I'm talking about here, wrote that we can tell a lot about a person by looking at his or her angel. He says the angel's appearance usually reflects one of the person's qualities or responsibilities. If a person has a certain type of, a certain type of character, his angel may exhibit that kind of character as well. Or if he has very specific responsibilities, if he's like, for example, if he owns a company or is high in management or something like that, his angel will look like he belongs in management, okay? That kind of thing. In other words, he's suggesting that people's personal angels often reflect the person's characteristics or responsibilities. He also said that about one-third of the personal angels seem to look similar to the people they're with. But this is his observation. You know, it seems that our personal angels are assigned to us for life. That is, for our life, not theirs. They are assigned to us for our life. As Rosalie said, I believe they're assigned to us from conception. From our conception. Now, I don't know whether they are reassigned to another person when their assigned person dies, I don't know whether we will have the same ones assigned to us in eternity. We will have angels assigned to us in eternity. I suspect they are the same ones we have now. I have a lot of questions and very few answers, so if I say I don't know, I don't know.
We can assume that they're right here now.
We're going to see.
Do they follow us? Are they with us all the time, do you think?
Our personal angels are with us all the time, yes.
Eileen? Why would we need angels in eternity?
Not to assist us or to serve us for our needs, rather to serve us in our administrative duties and the things that we will be assigned in eternity. We will be functioning. You see, we can't, right now, we don't direct or command our personal angels or any angels, okay? They report to God, not to us. Mm-hmm. However, when we return with Jesus to set up, to function in his kingdom here on earth, that whole structure is going to invert. And we, I believe, will have angels reporting to us, right, facilitating what we will be doing in God's kingdom. Okay? So right now, we don't order angels around, but later, they continue to serve us, but their service is going to change in nature when we are taken out of this world and return in God's kingdom. As I understand our spiritual authority at this phase in our existence, angels do not do what we tell them.
What?
Rather, what we say facilitates things in the spiritual realm.
Yes.
Our thoughts, our behaviors, our motivations, what we say and so forth, either authorize or prohibit spiritual beings from influencing
yes.
us.
Absolutely.
Okay? So when I speak with authority, I can speak to a fallen angel, a demonic angel, and he has to pay attention because I'm speaking to the authority that Jesus restored to me.
Right.
Jesus gave me authority, and I can use that authority to say, Devil, you get out of here. You're not going to touch my house, my children, or whatever. You're not going to influence me here. We have authority to speak directly to them. We can speak to our holy angels. However, they report to God, not to us.
Right.
Okay. So, again, at this stage, we need to move along because you're going to want more time later. Okay. Normally, we expect someone to lay hands on us to impart a gift or an ability. Our room layout makes that very difficult, and besides that, I don't think that's necessary. Because it's not necessary for me or anyone else to physically touch you to impart spiritual sight, because you already have it. The issue is, you simply haven't learned to use it. It's not necessary for you to receive spiritual sight because you are a spirit. Your spirit has senses, spiritual senses. So I don't need to impart sight to you. I need to make you aware of it. Okay? That's the issue. You see, we're talking about spiritual eyes, eyes of the heart, or your mind's eye, or whatever you prefer to call it. But the issue is believing that God has already equipped you to see the spiritual realm, and he intends for you to do so. That's the issue right there. I really don't need to impart anything to you other than assurance, which is what I'm trying to do now, okay? The key to seeing in the Spirit is to look.
That's right.
Most people don't bother. They don't try. Mm-hmm. They say, well, I can't do that, so why should I try? No. That's a lie from the devil.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's totally contrary to God's intent. He equipped you with spiritual senses so that, among other things, you can see the spiritual realm as spiritual beings. And it's his intent for you to do that. So here's what we're going to do. The author I mentioned earlier uses a very specific practice that's the basis for what we're about to do. I've taken his key points and modified a few things and so forth. That's just the way I do things. But we're going to focus our attention on the spiritual realm. Then we're going to pray with our spirits briefly to prepare ourselves and get our spirits and psyches working together, okay? The issue here is that our psyches have grown up ignoring our spirits, and we need to change that and cause our psyches to honor our spirits by allowing it to function and to participate and cooperate with our spirits, with our spiritual functions, okay? So that's why we need to change the way we think here, to get our psyches and spirits working together, and praying in the Spirit is an excellent way to do that. I will then pray and then have you declare with authority that Jesus gave you that you will see in the spiritual realm. I'll have you close your eyes and ask the Holy Spirit where you should look. Now, at this point, you may sense a specific direction or location. You may have a picture come to mind, or you may just get a vague impression about to look in a certain place. If you can't get a clear sense of where to look, just pick a likely spot. There are lots of targets here for you to see. This is a crowded area right now. There are plenty of things that you can see from where you're sitting. So ask Holy Spirit where to look. Okay? We're going to do all this in just a moment here. I'm giving you an overview of what we're going to be doing. Then, after you have a sense of where you should look, you can open your eyes, look at the spot, and ask Holy Spirit to show you what's there. You may see an angel, either with your physical eyes or your spiritual eyes. You may see kind of a ripple in the air, you know, like when you're driving on a summer day and you see heat rising off and the things just kind of go wavy on you. You may see something like that. I've seen that. It's kind of cool. You might see a brief flash or streak of light. That may be all that you see at first. That's okay. People often see a glowing mass or an indistinct shape, all right? And they only begin to see the details after they look at it for a while or ask the Holy Spirit for clarification on it. Or you may have a picture form in your mind or a sentence come to your mind or an impression of peace or joy or something coming from that, from the, something that occupies the space you're looking at. There are a lot of things that you might experience, whether you see them or otherwise experience them. So just be open-minded about this and see what happens. Then, once you detect something, ask Holy Spirit to explain what you're seeing. Believe me, Holy Spirit is eager to show you the spiritual realm. He's eager to show you what's happening in His kingdom. He wants you to be actively engaged. And this right here is probably the most important step. Ask the Holy Spirit to explain. That's the most important step in the process because God wants you to become more effective in His kingdom. Are you with me so far? Look, this is not about you. We corrupt all of our spiritual gifts by making them about us. We use them for personal human consumption, personal consumption rather than as ministries and service tools. But this is not about you. It's about God. It's about His kingdom and His relationship with you. Matthew 6:33 says that we should seek first His kingdom and righteousness. In other words, make them your priority. His kingdom and His righteousness are your priority, and then He'll give you everything else you need. It's very clear. So you can confidently anticipate experiencing spiritual sight. Confidently anticipate it. You may be thinking, oh, really? Come on now. I've never experienced. No. Don't believe history. That's the past that's behind you. We're moving forward. You with me? Expect something new if you haven't experienced this already. Now, again, this is not about some pleasure trip or joyride or whatever fun thing to do. No, we're talking about equipping ourselves spiritually so we can function more effectively in God's kingdom. That's what we're talking about here. And I'll give you about 2 minutes for the exercise, and then I'll lead you on from there. Any questions or comments about what we're about to do? I will lead you through it, yes, step by step. I just wanted to give you an overview of it so I won't surprise you at any point. Okay, are you ready? Please close your eyes. I'd like for you to focus your attention on the Father, or on Jesus, or the spiritual realm. Focus your attention, please. All right, now pray quietly with your spirit for a few moments, and then I will pray. Pray with your spirit, please. Come on, pray with your spirit. It prepares you for a spiritual experience. Father, thank you for loving us and wanting to include us in everything you do. Thank you for equipping us with spiritual senses, some of which we can't even imagine. Thank you for bringing us to this point in our spiritual growth and showing us how to take this next step. Thank you for all you're doing for us. We ask you to open our spiritual eyes as we speak with authority. Okay, now everyone repeat after me, one phrase at a time. It is God's will, it is God's will, for me to see the spiritual realm. So in the authority Jesus gave me, I declare I will see it. I will see it. Now, for this next part, you'll have about 2 minutes, so you don't have to rush, okay? With your eyes closed, ask Holy Spirit where you should look. Then when you have a sense of an answer, then open your eyes and look and ask Holy Spirit to explain what you're seeing. Okay? Begin. If you haven't sensed where you should look yet, just open your eyes and look in a direction and ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Okay, what did you see? Can I have someone tell me what you saw?
I've been noticing this erased place on the board. Mm-hmm. That looks like a demonic dragon to me. Mm-hmm. And I've been sitting here taking authority.
Good, thank you.
In the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Did anyone else have a sense of that nature? Okay, what experience did you have?
As my eyes were closed and not open, mm-hmm. I sensed birds.
Birds?
It is certainly
birds, you sensed birds flying around, okay, while you had your eyes closed?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody have anything like that? Experience anything like that? Was it a garden-like area, or just an outdoor area,
yeah.
Like a valley,
mm-hmm.
and it had flowers and grass and trees, mm-hmm. and you felt a breeze blowing through it?
The grass it was high, and mm-hmm. it felt like you were going through a valley of grass with the flowers and the mm-hmm. trees and the breeze.
And you said you felt peace, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. peace in the valley. Huh? Anybody have a similar experience?
I had just was looking this way towards Donna McGee, and actually was seeing, I'm not going to describe the glow, but definitely a presence around her.
Yep.
And it almost like an outer shell, you know, protection over her. And I'm not trying to be quintessential, but definitely saw Donna over you.
So he saw a presence, not, he wouldn't describe it as a glow, but as a presence around her, as if it were protecting her. And you saw the same thing, and you felt it. And what did you feel?
I just felt
peace.
They got their hands.
So you actually saw hands on her shoulder then?
I did not see a hand there. I just saw in that spot where she touched was where
yes.
That was emanating from.
Oh, okay. I actually saw hands. Like,
okay, you actually saw the hands on her then. Okay. And you knew that something was happening in that area, right?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else have an experience? What did you see or experience?
I saw Jesus feeding the multitude.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like the Holy Spirit was explaining that because we're hungry, His children are hungry, but only He has food to give us, and that He will feed us.
So she saw a biblical image of Jesus feeding a multitude of people because His people are hungry. I am.
Yes.
I have an absolute discontent with my current spiritual condition.
Yes.
I must have more. Anybody else? What did you see? Or what did you experience? Maybe you didn't see anything, but maybe you felt something. What did you feel, Jerry?
Sense that I felt something in the room around all of us. It's as though God was right here, centered, standing among us.
So you felt like a cloak, something around your shoulder,
yes.
But you also sensed a presence here. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else?
I didn't see anything when I opened my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely felt it.
Well, we've been focusing on seeing, but really it's a matter of sensing, okay? I just wanted to focus on seeing because I want us to move in that direction generally, but the real key here is to be aware of what's going on around you, to sense the spiritual realm.
You know, I tried looking other places, and I still didn't see anything, so I don't know if it was my doubt, my impatience, is what I'm thinking, but I didn't see anything, but I know that the Holy Spirit told me to look in Donna's direction.
So the Holy Spirit told you to look at a particular person, in that person's direction. You didn't sense anything about her or anything about that, but...
No.
Yeah. Okay. But you did sense a direction to...
Yeah.
Okay.
Looking right there at the end, it was like at the end of that blackboard. What I sensed when I was looking in that area, I didn't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
But what I sensed was a boulder, and that I needed to go uphill and to persevere and go over that boulder. Whatever that is, I don't know right now.
Well, I think it's a very apt analogy for what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Do you think that a boulder is an applicable analogy for what we're encountering right now, that we need to overcome or get beyond whatever seems to be blocking our way? There are several things that can block our ability to sense the spiritual realm, but primarily, we don't need to worry about demonic interference. They have no authority over us other than what we yield to them. And I would suggest you not yield to them. Most of the blockages that prohibit, that prevent us from experiencing things in the spiritual realm come down to our own attitudes and ways of thinking. Fear, disbelief, religious teaching, that kind of thing. And that's why we need to read the scriptures to see how these experiences are biblical, and if they're in the Bible, they apply to us. It's that simple. If you see it in scripture, it's yours. Especially in the New Testament. Focus on the New Testament in that area. Because there are things that were applicable in the Old Testament that I believe don't apply to us today. Such as the law. Okay? So, but otherwise, when you see general types of things presented in scripture, especially in the New Testament, they're available to us. Not just available, but they are designated for us. Well, don't get discouraged if you didn't see anything. This is a new experience, and your ability to see in the spiritual realm will develop as you use it. As you use it. None of us walked perfectly the first time we tried. You probably don't remember it. I don't. But I've known other kids who just tried to start walking. And a baby doesn't walk effectively the first time, right? But do they give up because they fell down?
No.
No, there's something in them that says, I'm going to do this. And I want that same I'm going to do this attitude in each of us. It's called perseverance. Perseverance. We've already been talking about that because it's a key to all the things we're talking about here. Seeing in the spiritual realm. Seeing the spiritual realm is an ability that God has given you. Like I said, it's not that we have to gain that ability. We already have it. It's just that we've been influenced by our sinful ways of thinking that, spirit, what's that? You know, this is me, my physical body, and what I think, that's me. No, it's not. That's those are accessories that you have, if you will. The real you is your spirit. So our psyches, our minds, souls need to be trained. Say, look, this is reality. This is what I'm going to do. This is what my spiritual experience is about. I've given you a daily activity that basically is repeating what we did this morning. I would like for you to close your eyes, focus your attention on the spiritual realm, and pray with your spirit. Again, that's very important. I want you to declare something along the lines of, it is God's will for me to see the spiritual realm, so in the authority Jesus gave me, I declare I will see it. Then with your eyes closed, as the Holy Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit where you should look. Then open your eyes and look. Ask Holy Spirit to explain what you are seeing. This is a short activity, and I recommend that you do it daily. In fact, even several times a day. Because you will develop this skill, if you would, by repetition, by persevering. Because your ability will develop as you use it. I am eager to hear about your results. I am. I am eager to hear about your results. Any questions or comments before we close this morning?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She brought up an important point that I want to emphasize. Don't be reluctant to use your imagination. There's a lot of church teaching that teaches us that our imagination is evil. No, it's not. It's an ability. It depends on what you use it for, that's evil or good. In fact, I suggest that your imagination actually is an interface between your spirit and psyche, because your spirit experiences things that your psyche can't comprehend, so it gives you an image or a vision or something of that nature. And it uses the function we call your imagination to do that. So you'll hear me talk about sanctifying your God-given imagination. That's what I'm talking about. Purify that imagination. Use it for holy things, not ungodly things. So she mentioned she felt something but didn't see anything, so she imagined something. She visualized what God appeared to be doing. Okay. She used her imagination, though, okay? Don't be reluctant to use your imagination, because God will use that same faculty, that same imagination, to show you great spiritual things. He equipped you with imagination. Every one of us has imagination, even though people claim they don't. They imagine all kinds of bad things. That's what kind of thing I'm talking about. Okay.
The miracle, the electricity, the charging, the transaction. Mm-hmm. Yes. He is faithful in the little things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just share that because it was yesterday morning, and I just sat in the car and wept for about 10 minutes, because who are we that he should be mindful of us, and with this nasty flesh, that he still thinks of us in the micro.
Yeah.
Just watch what you're doing.
He loves you so much that, stay with me here, he loves you so much that everything that affects you affects him. Okay? Seriously. Whether that was an angel or whether God spoke to that human to come and intervene, doesn't matter. Still, God motivated someone or some being to intervene in his situation, right? All right. As a spiritual being, I'm talking about you. As a spiritual being and child of God, you are destined to see spiritual beings and the spiritual realm. That is your destiny. Eagerly anticipate it. Thank you. The Lord bless you. I look forward to seeing you next week and hearing your stories as well.